was something that Hannibal Lecter never said.
But always thought.
Yeah, that's the last thought he thought before eating people, I would assume. But, what am I doing here? I'm David Double D Dennis, and this is another exciting episode of Movie Madness, where I'm joined with...
Andrew Roebuck.
And we're going to take a look at the Hannibal Lecter franchise for the last time. Kind of sad.
The lambs will finally stop screaming.
All good things must come to an end. This week we're actually going to be looking at Hannibal Rising, which is chronologically the first Hannibal film, but in order of release is the last Hannibal film.
Yes, and it also didn't have to be changed. The name also didn't have to be changed for its porn parody.
I get it. Clever. Or are you being serious? Is there actually a porn parody of this?
No, it's there is horrifying. Not a porn parody.
Okay, good.
I'd be really disturbed if there was.
There actually is. I read a crack.com article because I like to read their articles that they have on really creepy fan fiction. And one of them was actually the Hannibal Rising Hannibal meets Magneto and Professor X from X-Men First Class. And they have in like Europe somewhere, and they have like a 3-man orgy.
It's pretty
disturbing. Thank you, crack.com, for putting that image in my head while I was trying to watch this movie. So anyways, yeah, we've made our way through everything except for Silence of the Lambs. We did our first episode, we did Red Dragon versus Manhunter, and then we did Hannibal in our Skype-erific episode.
Yeah.
Skype seems to be working okay right now, so we'll see. We had some issues before we started recording, though, so I don't know. I'm a little freaked out, but hopefully it's a Skype issue-free episode, and this week we're going to be doing Hannibal Rising, mostly because we're fans of the show. How about that season finale? Whoa.
I enjoyed it. It was a nice reversal. What, wah, wah.
Yeah. Now, tying this movie into the show, I guess before we get into Andrew's plot to replace Scott's plot, do you think that the things that are in Hannibal Rising could be brought up in the Hannibal TV show at some point? Or should even be brought up?
I don't really think there's much that they could really bring up. It might be an interesting thing to kind of delve into, but given the dubious nature of Hannibal Rising as far as critical acclaim goes, I bet you they'll probably stay far, far away from it.
The interesting thing, actually, is that in the band episode, which I had to watch with Korean subtitles, because they played it over there, but not in America. Hannibal mentions his family very briefly. He says that his parents died and that he lived with his uncle. Which actually goes against this movie where he lives with his aunt. So there was actually a very brief mention of his backstory. I think it would be kind of cool if they went into his backstory a little bit maybe later on. But possibly not from, like, actually showing what happened. Maybe having him tell someone what happened. And possibly have, like, two or three different versions, almost like a Joker type of thing. Like, where you don't really know what actually happened because it's like an unreliable backstory.
That'd be good. I wouldn't mind that. Maybe, like, have it in, like, a therapy session with Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, because Hannibal doesn't seem like the type of person who would actually reveal any of this stuff. Even if this is the official version of his backstory, I feel like this is something he keeps locked away.
Yeah!
Never to return. So anyways, moving on, let's get into everyone's favorite section of the show that's now slightly different because Scott's not here. It's... Andrew's plot! Ooh, not as cool as Scott's plot.
Yes, unfortunately I have to pick up the pieces. So, this movie stars Eddie Murphy. Oh, no, wait, sorry, still had the Norbit tab open. All right.
Oh, man. Why were we talking about Norbit earlier? Let's not even get into that.
Well, it was released the same week as Hannibal Rising. So, anyways,
two horrifying movies. Okay.
So this is this has the third. Actually, now it's the fourth person to play. Yeah. Well, technically, it's the third person to play Hannibal Lecter because there's four versions.
Okay.
It's a four French actor called Gaspard Ulliel. I can't pronounce his name. So it starts off in 1944 in this like cool, like interesting. Where is it in Lithuania? I think it is. And there's like
Lithuania or Estonia. No, yeah, I think it was Lithuania.
Yeah, something like that. And I really like the way it starts and just like how the look of this film, because I thought it had some really interesting visual elements to it. And it involves, like, Hannibal and his family kind of, like, going back to their cottage to kind of get out of this huge war zone that's happening when all of a sudden some dudes show up and they kill his parents. Or is that the airplane? Does the airplane kill his parents?
They don't really kill his parents. I think his parents are just like, get in the house, and the plane's, like, coming, and then the plane, like, shoots his parents down, and they just kind of happen to die. And then the people who are running from the plane are like,
That plane crash looks awful. Anyways, so a whole bunch of...
some of the special effects, not that good. But I think this movie didn't really have the biggest budget, but I'd have to look that up. I'm not 100% sure.
It had a $50 million budget. I have it right up now. Du-du-du-du.
That's not that much, actually.
It's pretty low.
For a movie of this size, really. Yeah.
Anyways... So, a horrible CGI plane crashes, and then Hannibal and his sister are left alone until people show up, but they're Nazis, and they're only kind of keeping them alive in case they get caught, so they can be like, hey, we're not such bad guys, we got these kids over here, we saved them, we're not Nazis, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Soviet
Is that
Union,
why they were keeping them alive? I thought they were just keeping them alive so they could eat them if they needed to.
Well, no, that like that
or that
ends
just
up,
happens.
That ends up what they have to do, but they keep them alive just in case anyone like shows up, and they can be like, "Hey, we ain't bad." So that
I
kind
misunderstood
of thing.
That part.
But it ends up they get stranded out there, and what do you do when you get stranded out with no food? Why you eat little girls,
you
of course.
Eat someone. Well, you eat whoever is the least helpful, which happened to be the youngest and most sick.
Well, yeah, because she was sick and blah, 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 blah. But
and they're like, she's going to die anyways.
Yeah, we're not bad. It's a mercy killing. Nom, nom. And so basically this horrible thing happens, and then it cuts to Hannibal Lecter. He's living in his family home of Lecter Castle, which is just freaking awesome. I had no idea he had a castle, so that was kind of cool. But it's not even his castle anymore because it's an orphanage run by the Soviets, so it's really not that interesting. But the thing is, Hannibal is not talking. He's just secretly thinking of all the revenge he's going to get and all the people who ate his sister. Dun, dun, dun.
I think probably the best performance by this guy actually is when he's not talking. It's once he opens his mouth that I was like, eh. but when he's not talking, I was like, yeah, this guy's an okay Lecter. Anyways, continue.
Anyways, so some shit goes down at the orphanage, and he's like, fuck this, and he leaves. He goes to live in Paris with his aunt,
with
who
his
is
smoking
Asian.
Hot aunt. That's
yeah, his aunt is.
I'm gonna keep bringing that up in this movie. This Hannibal's aunt is just banging hot, man. Like that. I'm gonna retitle this movie to Hannibal's Hot Aunt Rising.
Yes, I agree. And when he's out with his smoking hot aunt, he gets sexually harassed by a butcher. We all know butchers are mean-ass people. But they also like to fish, so, you know, it cuts to him going out fishing. Then all of a sudden, Lecter does some crazy shit and kills him.
Like ninja shit, basically.
Yeah, he gets some ninja shit going on, decapitates him. And then... continue.
Oh, no, I was just going to mention that his aunt actually taught him, like, how to use, like, a katana sword. So that's, like, how he kills this. I think katanas were just, like, considered cool at the time and kind of still are. So they just kind of threw them into this movie. And
they're like, hey, that's how he kills this guy. She has katanas. Yeah, basically. And then...
And worships her ancestors and stuff like that.
Yep.
I know a lot of Asians. None of them do that, but... Anyways.
So anyways, this is when the police first start suspecting that he could be the man who is starting to do some fucked up shit around this area. But while he's being interrogated, his smoking Asian aunt places the butcher's head outside the headquarters with a swastika carved on its forehead. So then they're all like, oh, well...
Inglorious Bastard style.
Yeah, they're like, oh, Lecter was here. There's no way he has any accomplices or anyone he lives with, so he's innocent. We're all good. Then Lecter goes to medical school and starts, like, really obsessing over all of these weird parts of the body and learning more and more about his memory to attempt to relive everything regarding his horrible thing that happened to his sister so he can find out and to kill the people who killed his sister. Because, you know, it's revenge. Gotta have revenge if people fuck with your family. And basically the rest of the movie is him kind of like hunting down the people. And that's basically it. He just hunts down the people and kills them in a bunch of weird ways and... That's the end of the movie, basically. I mean, I could get more into depth, but it's basically just him from then on. It's just him getting revenge on everyone. And just...
I felt a little cheated that there wasn't more of the detective that was trying to hunt Hannibal down, like, kind of interrogates him in one scene and then disappears and, like, never shows up again. Like, I thought there was...
Well,
almost like the Will Graham of this movie. Like, he was going to have a bigger part and, like, spend the movie trying to hunt him down.
Well, he does have that interesting part when the guy's being killed and Hannibal shows up for, like, the execution. And he also kind of does some, like, investigation to him in that area while he's, like, drowning that guy in the embalming fluid, which is a great scene, which is, ugh, I never want to die with that. Ugh. Anyways...
It was pretty brutal.
So yeah, the detective does have some stuff, but he isn't really doing all he can. He's not as in the movie as we think he could be.
He was kind of lazy.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a more involved detective. That's probably one of my biggest complaints about this film.
Yeah, well, I mean, how else would he go on to America, I guess? Had there been
that's true.
Had there been a good detective,
I was kind of thinking, like, what if he just, like, this guy almost caught him, and then Hannibal just, like, tricked him at the last minute, and then just barely made his escape. Like...
Yeah, I guess that would have been interesting.
Yeah, because then it would have been like, oh, they almost caught him and prevented all this other shit from happening.
Yeah, also interesting to note,
too bad.
This movie ends in Canada. So there's probably a whole nother movie where Hannibal Lecter just chills in Canada, being all polite to everyone, and he has
eating maple syrup and poutine.
Yeah, he is too well-mannered to eat anybody in Canada, which is why Anthony Hopkins is so fat in Red Dragon.
And then he has to move to the States so that he can eat people again.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, and finally douchebags that I can eat. Nice.
Yep. Anyway, so what did you think of this movie?
I thought this movie was kind of inconsequential. Like, I felt like we just didn't really need it. Like, I just felt like I didn't really need to see Hannibal's backstory. And to be honest, I feel like he's more interesting when you don't know his backstory, which is why I was saying it would be kind of cool in the show if we weren't sure what his true backstory was, if he told maybe different versions of it to different people. Because it makes him a more interesting person. You're wondering to yourself, what could have driven a person to going insane like this? Once you actually know it, it's kind of like the Star Wars prequels. I think everyone had a version in their head, and then the version that was on the screen really didn't measure up to it. And I think that happened with this movie. Everyone had like a version in their head of what a prequel to Silence of the Lambs would look like and what actually would have driven Hannibal to be the way he is. And maybe this movie didn't live up to it for most people. For me, I just feel like we didn't really need a movie actually showing the backstory to begin with. So it's not even a question of does it live up to it or not. It just doesn't really need to be there. Now, for a movie that doesn't need to exist, it's not bad. I'll give it that.
Interesting. I enjoyed the film. I thought it was, out of all the Hannibal sequels, I think it's the best. While, like, that's, in my eyes, excluding Manhunter. I think Manhunter is, Manhunter is better than this film. But I just mean from, like, Hannibal
or Red
Dragon.
So you're ranking this above, like, okay.
Yeah.
I would say, I don't know, this is about on a par with Hannibal for me, maybe. Like, I thought both of them were kind of just okay. Maybe if I watched it again, I might like it a little bit more. It is, the interesting thing about this one, I think, is that it doesn't feel like a Hannibal movie. Because it doesn't have, like, the FBI involved in it, and there's no, like, murder investigation, and it's like a straight-up period piece, which is kind of interesting. And I don't know, there's just, like, a feel to this movie, if that makes any sense. Like, the mise-en-scène, I guess you could say, you want to use a fancy word, was very different in this movie compared to other Hannibal movies. Like, I don't know if it was, it almost felt more eloquent, I guess, in a way.
Did you just pull that word out of,
like,
your ass?
Like, something of... Yeah, I don't know.
How was it eloquent?
I don't know, actually.
All right, I apologize.
I think maybe it was like lacking some of the grittiness, I guess I could say, of the other Hannibal movies.
I can understand that. I mean, personally, I liked that it was different and that it didn't seem so tied to making everyone be like, hey, this is just like Hannibal, hey. And like, it didn't seem to pander as much to the previous films. So that's kind of why I liked it more.
Well, the only,
I think.
Except for the one scene where Hannibal finds like a mask and then he puts it on. It's
okay.
Like, oh, it looks actually, like his mask that he wears in the prison. Holy crap.
Yeah, okay. Actually, I just remember that.
There's no
scene.
Reason for that scene to be in there.
Just remember that scene, and that scene sucks. Why the fuck did he do that? That was so dumb.
That's really he did that so they could put it in the trailer. That's the only reason that scene exists.
And the poster and any other marketing thing used for this film.
Whoa, it's like showing the future. Holy shit.
Oh guys, foreshadowing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was probably one of the worst parts of the movie. But I'll give you, this movie really wasn't that bad. Like,
I thought it was really filmed beautifully. I really love the cinematography in this film. And some of the ways that he kills people is just brutal and so entertaining to watch, and you're just like, oh my goodness, when he's like cutting the guy's cheeks off and all that crazy shit.
Yeah, and there's a few intense scenes in this. I kind of like the editing in this movie wasn't bad. Like, I thought they did a good job with like, it's not too fast-paced, which happens a lot with movies lately, I find. Like, this one actually kind of took its time and they don't show you what, like when we were talking about the plot of this movie and we mentioned the part where all these guys are like eating her sister, they never actually show that. They just sort of have all these different flashbacks where you find out about it later on, and you find out more and more about it as the movie progresses, which I thought was an interesting way to show that.
Yeah, I agree.
And of course, there's the plus of Hannibal's aunt being hot.
Bum chicka bum bump.
So, now, what did you think of Gaspard Ulliel as Hannibal?
I liked it. I thought it was an interesting take on the character. Again, it wasn't amazing. It's not the best portrayal of the character. I would still, of course, put Anthony Hopkins and Manhunter's one. I just forgot his name. What the hell is wrong with me? What is his name?
Now you made me forget his name.
Oh my gosh. We are being fired from our own podcast.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm almost there.
Also, Mads Mikkelsen is better than him. I mean, he's my least favorite Hannibal, but he's still pretty decent, I thought.
It was Brian Cox.
Oh my gosh, how did I... For some reason, I wanted to say William Cox, and I'm like, nope, that's Will Graham. I don't know why...
Nope, not even close. Yeah, I thought Gaspard Ulliel did a good job in some parts, like in the parts where he doesn't have to be sinister. Like
oh, really? Because I thought those were his best parts.
I almost felt the opposite. Maybe it's because those parts felt out of place to me. I feel like there's scenes where he's all sinister and he's like, I see the wine you serve is... worse than the wine that you drink or something like that, and he's like being all mean to this guy, but it feels out of place because he's doing it in a scene where his aunt's been kidnapped and he should be really concerned for her and he should be like really angry at this guy, and instead he's just like sitting back in a chair trying to be all suave like with Clarice in Silence of the Lambs. But in Silence of the Lambs, it makes sense that he's acting this way because, you know, he's, like, stuck behind bars and he has no personal connection to this person. Like, for him to act this way with someone where he's trying to get information out of them to find the location of the one person that he truly cares about, I feel like he should be less like, oh, yeah, and more like, where are they? Like Batman.
Bat Lecter.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat you now. Where's my aunt?
Have the lamp stop screaming.
Where's my smoking hot aunt?
I'm at Hannibal Lecter in a bat mask saying that.
Picture that in your mind, will you, dear listener?
I ate his liver with fava beans and a nice Chianti. My parents are dead.
Someone needs to fast forward to this part of the show without listening to the rest and just wonder what the hell we're talking about.
That Lecter.
No, I just felt like those scenes were out of place. So maybe it wasn't... I should rephrase that, because it wasn't really his performance that was the problem, because he was doing a decent job. It was more like the directing in those scenes just seemed off. And possibly, like, I don't know what was in the screenplay that made it into the movie, but Thomas Harris, the guy who wrote the novel and who wrote all the Hannibal novels, actually wrote the screenplay directly. Like, he actually adapted his own novel. So
I'm not sure if
those scenes that I'm not a huge fan of, like the one where he holds the mask up that you see on the poster, or the scenes where he's like trying to be all playing it cool, like if those were still in the screenplay, because that's kind of a misstep on his part. Like, the guy who created Hannibal almost seems to not understand his own character in a few parts of this movie, which kind of sucks. But then there's other things that I feel do work, like the early part of the movie. I find like the really early backstory in like Lithuania, and then the parts where he's like at the orphanage and he's not talking yet and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then when he first meets his aunt, that I felt was the best part of the movie. I feel it doesn't get completely ruined, but the second half where he starts trying to kill these guys, I just didn't like as much. And I feel like it's probably the opposite with you.
Yeah, I enjoyed that part more, I think. But I also enjoyed... I think I enjoyed this movie as a whole. I also enjoyed the growing up that part as well. But on a side note, look up the director Peter Weber on IMDb. What kind of a pose is this man making in this photo? Sorry, that is like an offshoot.
Okay, I'm looking it up right now, and he's like, "Hey, guys!" I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said during that picture.
I really hope someone also fast-forwards to this part of the thing and just hears you going, yeah. "Hey, guys!
Hey, guys!
Is there a gay character in this movie?"
Yes. Hey, Hannibal! He has a gay best friend that keeps showing up.
Like a romantic comedy style.
Oh, man.
All I'm saying is...
That could wind up being another freaky fan fiction.
All I'm saying is when it gets to season 9 of Hannibal and they run out of things to do, gay best friend and Bat Lecter will be coming up.
Just end the show at that point if it gets to that point. They'll probably get their highest ratings if that's the case, though.
Yep, and then it'll become The Simpsons, and it will never stop.
Oh, boy.
Hannibal gets a pet dog.
No, I thought this movie was pretty decent. Like, I don't understand all of the criticism for it, to be honest. Like, on IMDb, it has a 6.1, which I think is way too low. Like, I feel like this movie's about like a 7 out of 10 for me.
I would agree with that, actually. I mean,
it's not amazing, but you know, it's pretty good. It's for a movie that there's really no reason for it to exist, it's pretty good.
Yep, I can agree with that. I thought it was an interesting movie and I enjoyed it. I really wonder like what the critics were all up in arms about, because I'm curious. I'm gonna look up something. Continue talking for a minute.
I think probably a lot of it was what I was talking about earlier with, like, they felt the backstory kind of ruined Hannibal's character, and maybe part of it was that having it be a revenge story kind of makes him into almost like a hero, and it kind of cheapens the other movies, because now it's like you're almost supposed to feel sorry for this guy. Those are the only complaints I could think of, and they're semi-legit. But at the same time, even though this is a revenge story, they do make it very clear that he's not doing the right thing and that he's going against the wishes of his aunt and everyone else around him, and that he is definitely falling into evil throughout this movie, even with good intentions. And they do say the road to evil is paved with good intentions, so... Plus, it makes sense. Like, why else would he start eating people, really? Like, just because he wanted to and he liked the taste? Oh. That would be a very boring... That would be a boring movie if Hannibal Rising was just like, I wonder what a person tastes like. Mmm, so good. And then he kills, like, 20 people. The end.
That would be the greatest movie ever. you know
this, what does a person taste like?
You know, this human stuff ain't so bad. I think I'm gonna keep eating this.
Yeah, I think I'm going to kill a bunch of people now.
He's just like...
And then just have a montage of him killing people. The end.
Casual Lecter. Just, oh, you know, not that.
No, I mean, it makes sense that something with originally good intentions would lead to, like, the creation of a monster.
Well, okay. Something... Wait. Did he really have good intentions? He wanted to eat his captors. I get that he wanted revenge I get that he wanted to get revenge for his sister.
I meant good intentions in his mind. In Hannibal Lecter's mind, he sees himself as doing the right thing. And even in the other movies, like they mention, Hannibal only kills and eats people that he deems like detrimental to society. So even for the rest of his life, he was still doing something that in his mind, he was doing something good. But obviously, from any other standpoint, it's clearly evil and wrong. And even like some of these people that had held him captive weren't even that bad of people. Like, they make it pretty clear that Reese Iffins, or Iffins or Effins?
I think it's Iffins. The lizard from Spider-Man.
The lizard's character is definitely a bad guy. Like, they make it pretty clear that this guy's evil. But the other guys who were with him were just sort of going along with it. And they have, like, wives and kids after this. So, like, he should have... If he was a decent person, he would have just let it go. But he's not. He's Hannibal.
Well, I doubt he would have just let it go, but there are other ways of dealing with it. Oh, my sister got in. Yeah, I'm just going to let that go. I'm just going to move on.
I meant, like, maybe, like, torture these guys, I don't know, but don't kill them. Like, they got families.
I know, I'm just kidding around.
Maybe that's me being sensitive. Anyways, what was it that you were looking up earlier?
Oh, I wanted to compare some Rotten Tomato ratings, but it didn't end up being as entertaining as I thought it would be, so I just dropped it.
Oh, what was the final score for this movie on Rotten Tomatoes?
It was 15.
15 out of 100?
Yep.
Wow, that's definitely certified rotten.
Only 6 points above Norbit.
Ugh, that's bad. Yeah, I'm seeing here the Metascore is only a 35 out of 100, which is, again, is really bad. Like, I don't think this movie deserved that bad of reviews, honestly.
I really don't get like why I said, it was that hated.
It's like maybe a 7 or at the least a 6 out of 10 for me. It's decent. I don't know. Now, what did we not touch on in this movie? Like, I guess music is, I don't know, for me it's decent.
I thought the music was decent. I like that it had, at one point, did have the iconic Hannibal music.
The sort of classical music that he listens to all the time?
Yeah, the classical music. It did have that at one point.
That sounded like the Wheel of Fortune theme. Wheel of Torture, starring Hannibal.
We've already come up with the next 5 seasons of the Hannibal show. You're welcome, NBC.
Where he becomes Batman and plays Wheel of Torture. so many amazing things that are going to happen in that show now. Now that we're going to kill all the writers and take over ourselves.
Yeah.
Not much to say about the music. Obviously, we already mentioned that the cinematography for this movie is, in fact, very nice. Even looking at Peter Weber's other films, he seems to... I don't know who he hires for his cinematography, but they all seem to be very well-shot movies.
I concur.
I don't know. Anything else you wanted to bring up about this movie?
I thought a lot of it when I originally watched it, and then it kind of just left, most of it left my mind. So I liked it.
That happens. But we need to watch these movies closer when we actually record.
Yeah.
It was like 2 weeks ago when I watched this. So now I'm trying to like rack my brain.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, huh? Hannibal did what now?
he dressed up as Batman. Remember that part?
Wait, are you telling me he's a cannibal? What?
So what are your final thoughts on Hannibal Rising?
My final thoughts on Hannibal Rising is it's an entertaining and underrated Hannibal film that I really think you should... I think people should watch it. I think people should give this a chance. So, you know, so it doesn't just get lost in time. It's obvious some people put some hard work into this thing, and I would appreciate it if more people watched it.
I would say almost the same as you. You should definitely check out this movie before you judge it, but know going into it that it's definitely way far from perfect. It has a lot of issues, and probably there's a better version of the Hannibal Lecter backstory, you know, like floating around as fan fiction somewhere, than this version. I feel like it could have been done better, but for the version that we got, it's really not. It's not like 15% on Rotten Tomatoes bad. It's maybe like 45-50% on Rotten Tomatoes bad. It's just, yeah, it's bad, but it's not that bad. So I think you liked it more than I did, Andrew.
I did. That would be true.
Yeah, I would definitely. I think I would rank this around the same as Hannibal, maybe just barely below it as like the worst one, maybe, but not by a lot.
Interesting.
But it's still decent. All of the Hannibal films are worth watching, I would say, in the entire series.
So, Dave, if they were interested in commenting and giving their own opinions on this film, where would they go?
I was just about to get to that, actually. Well, we have a Facebook page now, which I completely forget the URL for. I think it's facebook.com/...
Movie Madness?
Movie Madness Show? I think it has show in there or something.
Maybe.
I'm going to look it up. But anyways, while I look that up, we also have a Twitter. You can, you know, @replyus or whatever. And that's @MovieMadnessTWG. That one I actually did remember. And then obviously you can send a message to feedback@thisweekingeek.net, subject line Movie Madness.
Yeah, come on, people, send some in. We haven't had any emails in a while.
You're not supposed to say that. Now people will be like, I don't want to be the one loser who emails them. We got like 5 billion emails coming in like every day, so maybe if you email us, you might be one of the people who gets lucky enough. No,
I try to do the pity email. You try to do the we're the best.
I tried to
email.
Do the overhype.
Yeah.
No, honestly, like if you send us an email or even just like a Facebook message or anything like that, we will read it on the show. Even if it's just you talking about how much you hate us,
please.
Or how much this show this show sucks. I don't care.
I would actually love an email about like that.
You guys suck, and your show's terrible, and Batman Hannibal, what are you talking about? You guys are stupid.
Wow.
Anything like that, whatever.
Did you just play a voicemail, Dave?
Yeah, that was one of last week's voicemails, one of the billions that we get sent every week.
I don't know how he knew about the Batman Hannibal thing, but he was very...
It was sent by a psychic. Amazing. Anyways, so that about wraps it up for this week's episode of Movie Madness.
What are we doing next week?
I'm pretty sure we're doing Studio Ghibli. You know what? I'm just going to make the call right now because it was something we talked about. So, yeah, that's what we're going to do.
Sounds good.
Next week, we're going to start taking a look at Studio Ghibli by having each of us pick maybe not a favorite Studio Ghibli film, but maybe just any Studio Ghibli film that we want the other two people to watch. I kind of have one in mind already, but you'll see what that will be later.
Oh my, that
so
sounds...
stay tuned.
That acting was better than the Hannibal Lecter acting in this movie.
Yes. So yeah, that actually wraps up this episode. So for Movie Madness, we have been... I'm trying to throw to you.
Oh, there was a glitch in Skype. Andrew Roebuck.
And David glitching out Dennis. And we'll catch you later, guys.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join... Not a join, what the f*** does that mean? F*** that, 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh god!
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water, ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat f***.
Okay, okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh. Freak. Die, 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 die. Holy crap. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, my God. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.